Praise the Lord. Time for the Word of God to settle into our hearts and strengthen us. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, there's a title on the screen. Jacob got out of bed. Whenever you get your message this morning, you can go home. Jacob got out of bed. Let's go to Genesis 48. Genesis 48. Verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, "Behold, thy father is sick." And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, "Behold, your son Joseph cometh unto thee." And Israel, another name for Jacob, strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. He sat up on the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, "God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me, and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession." Jacob got out of bed. Down in verse 9, Joseph said unto his father, "They are my sons." He brought his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. They are my sons whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, "Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them." Now the eyes of Israel, or Jacob, were dim for age, so that he could not see. And Joseph brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, "I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God has showed me also thy seed." And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, guiding his hands in wisdom. For Manasseh was the firstborn, and he blessed Joseph and said, "God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Then let my name be named on them in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." When Jacob heard in verses 1 and 2, "Behold, your son Joseph is coming," he strengthened himself and sat up on his bed. When Jacob heard who was coming, Joseph and his son and his grandsons, Jacob did three things. He strengthened himself, he sat up on the bed, and he started prophesying. When this word first came to my spirit, in my mind, I thought that the scripture said that Jacob sat up, then he strengthened himself, and then he started prophesying. But it doesn't say that. It says he strengthened himself and then sat up. The truth is, you can't sat up until you strengthen yourself. Sometimes we tell people to sat up, but they haven't strengthened themselves. And it's impossible to sat up until you've strengthened yourself. So we must strengthen ourselves, and then we can sit up, and then we can start to prophesy. There has to be something taking place on the inside before you can move the outer man to sit up. We need something going on in the spirit of us on the inside. Now, perhaps like Jacob, you've lost sight of who is coming. When Jacob received revelation, when he heard, when his spirit was enlightened as to who was coming, his son and his grandsons, all of a sudden things changed. And he strengthened himself because of what was taking place, what was coming. Perhaps years and age have set in, and your eyes have dimmed like old Jacob. Maybe your vision isn't as sharp as it should be in the kingdom, in the Spirit of God today, but the Lord wants to touch us today and help us and quicken our spirits. Sometimes we don't see who's coming, but we have a responsibility to rise up and anoint a generation that's before us and a second generation that's coming. This is the call of God, that we anoint our family, we anoint our sons, we anoint our grandsons and granddaughters, and we advance the kingdom, and we move the kingdom forward in their lives and in the earth. Jacob strengthened himself. He sat up, and he started prophesying. How many want to do those three things today? You want to respond like Jacob. The word of the Lord is here to teach us and admonish us today. Number one, Jacob strengthened himself. He strengthened himself. The Bible says in Jude 1, verse 20, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." That's how we build ourselves up. How do we strengthen ourselves? We begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. We begin to speak in other tongues. We pray as the Spirit gives us utterance within. The Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians 14:4, "He that speaks in an unknown tongue, he that speaks in tongues, supernatural language, edifies himself." He builds himself up. He strengthens himself. Something has to take place on the inside before we can sit up and before we can start prophesying. See, the Apostle Paul said in the same passage, he said, "I would rather speak 5 words in the public setting in a known language than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue." But the reason he could say that, he said, "All I need is 5 words in the public setting, and there's a spark of life, and there's renewal, and there's strength that goes to the people of God," is because I've got 10,000 words backing that. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Strengthen yourself. Build yourself up in the Holy Ghost. Acts 20 and verse 32 says, "I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance." This word of God is able to build us up, and so we must pray in the Spirit. Pray deep prayers in the Spirit, deep longing of the longings of the Lord. We speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. We call out on the Lord and we take up his word. We memorize, we pour into his word. We take it off the pages like fire into our souls. Strengthen yourself. There was a time when David had to encourage himself in the Lord. Many times, but one time in particular that I'm thinking of, 1 Samuel 30. All of his men spoke of stoning him. David had 600 men, mighty warriors, that helped him. Men that had come to him that were in debt, in distress, and discontented. And he'd formed, by the grace of God, a tremendous army to bring forth the kingdom of God. But at one point, the men looked at him and thought he had made a wrong decision because there was such devastation, the loss of their wives and children, and they wondered how they could ever recover them, and they spoke of stoning David. But the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. The New King James says he strengthened himself in the Lord. Now, I've needed to encourage myself at times, but I've never been up against those odds. 600 men, that's all he had. They were his troops, and they all spoke of stoning him. In my ministry, I've had people against me at times. I've had a portion of people stand against me at times, but I've never faced anything like this. And David encouraged himself. He strengthened himself in the Lord. And to me, that's another reason why he is a man after God's own heart. He knew how to strengthen himself. If we're always waiting for other people to encourage and strengthen us and we can't make it on our own, then we will sooner or later stumble and fall because people can't be around us at all times and they can't minister into us what the Spirit of God is as we call on the name of the Lord. We must learn how to strengthen ourselves. Jacob strengthened himself because he knew God wanted him to speak into the future. He knew God wanted him to set something into motion that would bring forth a future in God. He strengthened himself. Sometimes circumstances of life come and we feel beaten down. Voices of people come and we feel so discouraged, but Jacob strengthened himself, and we must learn how to strengthen ourselves in God. Truth is, sometimes it's easier to stay weak, isn't it? Maintain weakness in your life, then nobody expects too much of you. There's not too much demand if you're just a weak old man. Jesus said, to those who have been given much, men will require the more. So when we're given much and we take in the presence of God and we take in the treasure and the power of God into our lives so we can be effective warriors and ministers of the Lord wherever He puts us, men will require the more. Sometimes it's easier to stay in a place of weakness, a place of convenience. The demand isn't so high. People don't expect as much from you. So what can old Jacob do? He's just a weak old man. Well, obviously, he can strengthen himself. And so can you, and so can I. We can strengthen ourselves in God. We are not without means. We are not without the Holy Spirit. We are not without the Word of God. We are not without worship and utterance in supernatural tongues. We can strengthen ourselves. Abraham, at 99 years of age, had a word of God in his heart, and God wants to give every one of us a word. None of us should be without a word from God in our spirit, because He loves to lead us. He wants to speak with us. He wants to put a word in our heart to guide us no matter where we are in life, and we need a proceeding word. We need a continuing word because we're always moving along on this pilgrim life of ours. Abraham was 99 years of age. Romans 4:18-21, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. That is, he began to worship and praise the Lord, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Abraham received a word from God, and he did not consider his own body. He considered the word of God. Lord, what are you saying to me? His body felt old. His body felt tired. His body felt like it was incapable. But there was a word of God that lodged in his heart and in his spirit. And he said, I will believe the word of God over my physical frame. I will believe the word of God over the weakness that I feel that would try to keep me in bed. And because of that word of God, as he began to worship, as he began to meditate, as he began to pray on that word God had given him, he was strengthened in faith. He was strengthened in faith and in the power of God. What a beautiful lesson to us that we must strengthen ourselves. We must strengthen our lives. Jesus said in John 17, verse 19, this is an astounding verse. As Jesus was praying his great prayer in John 17, that high priestly prayer, he said, Father, I sanctify myself for their sakes, the disciples' sakes. He said, for their sakes, for the disciples that you've given me, I sanctify myself. Sanctify means to set apart, to consecrate. Jesus said, I consecrate myself to the Father for the sake of the disciples, for those who are coming behind me, for those who will carry the anointing, for those who will carry the gospel and the will of God when I'm gone and into the next generation and the generations to come. He said, for their sakes, I consecrate myself. We have the same call in our lives. We must sanctify ourselves, not only for ourselves, but for those who are coming, our sons and daughters, our grandchildren, and generations to come. That's why we separate ourselves. It's one of the great reasons we separate ourselves unto the Lord. And the Lord may be speaking in your heart, and I'm just here to confirm it today, but the Lord is saying that some of you need to sanctify yourselves. You need to consecrate yourselves a little more. And it's not only to stay away from evil, and from wrong and ungodliness. The word sanctify means to separate from and unto. We must separate ourselves unto the Lord. It may be that the Lord would speak to some of you and say, for your children's sake, for your grandchildren's sake, why don't you pick up Sunday night and get to the house of God when services are on? The Lord may be saying to you, for the sake of your children, for the sake of your grandchildren, why don't you get to Christ City Prayer on Tuesday nights and begin to pour out your heart and walk the prayer aisles and believe God for a generation to come? For their sakes, I sanctify myself. Jacob strengthened himself. Jacob strengthened himself. And how important it is that we strengthen ourselves. Number two, Jacob sat up. He sat up. There's a possibility that we lie down so long that we wonder if we can really get up. I've been down so long. Can I really get up? Time has come. Circumstances, the voices of people. You've been beaten down by the devil, beaten down by life, beaten down by your own personality. Can I really get up again? Jacob strengthened himself, and then he could sat up. When you were growing up, did your father or mother ever tell you to sit up? Well, you were already sitting, but kind of slouching down, not paying attention. Son, daughter, sit up. Has your heavenly father ever told you to sit up? Heavenly Father tells us to sit up. Come on, sat up. Those who have taught us the great healing ministries of the Lord, some of our forefathers have taught, and we've taken it into our spirit because they have taught that physical healing to take effect requires a response of faith. It requires an action on the part of the person that is receiving ministry. So we have to sit up. We have to respond to the word of the Lord inside of us. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus was in the synagogue, and there was a man there with a withered right hand. Jesus said to him, stretch forth your hand. And as he did, his hand was restored whole as the other. We don't understand this miracle point of contact. But when there is the charge of the word of the Lord and our response, in that split second, something happens that creates life. And those who have taught us the healing ministry have said, you have to test your faith. You have to act on your faith. When you receive something from God, when you feel a touch from the Lord, you have to respond. You have to sat up. Rise, take up your bed, and walk. Rise, take up your bed and walk. Don't stay lying there when the word of the Lord comes to you. When God speaks to you, there must be that response of faith. And so when we receive a word from the Lord to encourage us, whatever area of our life it is in, we have to rise up and test that word. We have to prove that word. We have to act on that word and not allow the past and how we've been and what we've done for so long to dictate that very moment. We have to rise up and respond to the Lord. We have to change. We have to activate our physical body. Now the Bible says this in Romans chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Count your body as dead. If Christ is in you, your physical body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of Jesus Christ. But if the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he who raised up Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal body, your physical being, by his spirit that is in you. Oh, this is so important. I can't say it strongly enough. We must consider our body dead, but the Spirit of God life in us to quicken our mortal bodies, to quicken our systems, to quicken our mind and our personalities and our emotions so we can fulfill the word that God has upon our life. Jacob sat up. Hallelujah. He sat up. That response of faith. When Peter and John came to the Gate Beautiful in Acts chapter 3, and there was the man begging for alms, and they said to him, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk." And lifting him up, strength came into his ankles, and he went into the house of God, singing and rejoicing, dancing before the Lord. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 14, as he was preaching one day in a certain city, group of people, and as he was preaching, there was that supernatural sight, and he knew there was a man there that had faith to be healed, and he said, "Rise, stand up." And as the man stood up, healing flowed into his body. It's so critical that we sat up. We strengthen ourselves. We receive from the Lord. His life goes on the inside of us. But then we have to act it out. We have to get up. We have to respond. We have to test that word and put our physical being into motion. Isaiah 52, verses 1 to 2. "Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, church, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust, arise, and sit down." But now you're sitting up. You're sitting in a new place. Shake yourself from the dust where you've been sitting, in that low state. "Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion." Arise and sit up in a new place with the Lord. If there's anyone here this morning, you've been lying down too long. You've been sitting down too long. Too many things have come and worn away on your life. This morning, strengthen yourself and begin to sit up. Begin to move your body in a new dimension, your life in a new vein that the Lord's calling you to. Jacob strengthened himself. He sat up. And number three, he started prophesying. To prophesy means to speak by inspiration, to speak by the Holy Spirit. He began to speak by the Holy Spirit. Now let's go back to Genesis 48. Verses 15 to 16, Jacob began to prophesy, and he blessed Joseph, said, "God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name be named on them in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." He blessed Joseph. Now, in verse 14 of this chapter, the preceding verse, it says, "Israel stretched out his hand and laid it upon Ephraim and his other hand upon Manasseh." Israel stretched out his hand. It's interesting that in this chapter, you start out in verse 1 with Jacob lying in bed, but he strengthened himself. But as you begin to move through the chapter, all of a sudden, that new name that God gave him, when God finally defeated his personality and gave him a new station in God, a prince with God, that name all of a sudden comes on the pages of the Bible. In Genesis 48, verse 1, when he's lying in bed, old and dim and doesn't have vision, doesn't have any prophetic flow in him, he's called Jacob, the natural man. But when the Spirit of God comes into him, when he strengthens himself and a prophetic word comes into his heart, all of a sudden he's Israel. The new nature, the spiritual nature, and every one of us know the two natures inside of us. We know the natural man. We live with the natural man day in and day out, but we also know the spiritual nature. We know the prince with God. We know what God's done in our life, and sometimes the Jacob wants to crowd out the Israel. Get us into bed. Get us lying down. Getting us to feel sorry for ourselves. Breaking our faith. Keeping us back from what God wants for us. But oh, when we strengthen ourselves and we begin to pray in the Spirit and we fill ourselves with the Word of God, that Jacob nature, that natural level goes down and the Israel comes forth and we can start to prophesy and speak the Word of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's glorious, isn't it? Just to feel that change in yourself, that constant tension, but that constant victory that comes with the Israel nature inside of us. So Israel started prophesying. He started prophesying. Got out of bed and sat up. He started prophesying. Lord, bless the lads. God is calling us to lay our hands on another generation, on our sons, on our grandchildren, to anoint them, to speak life over them, to speak a word into them that will propel them into the future. Jacob turned into Israel and he prophesied a prophecy over two generations. Don't die on me, fathers. We've got to cover two generations. We've got to cover our sons and we've got to cover our grandsons. We've got to cover two generations in this anointing, in this promise of God. 1 Corinthians 14, the Apostle Paul said, covet earnestly to prophesy. Now that was a message to the whole church, not to a few men who might be prophets or be specifically anointed for the gift of prophecy. He said to the whole church, covet earnestly to prophesy. If there's anything you want to put your desire on, it's that you have a prophetic spirit in your life. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 and verse 39. In verse 1, he said, earnestly desire, covet spiritual gifts, earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit. And they're listed in 1 Corinthians 12, that special group, those nine gifts of the Spirit. He said, earnestly desire gifts of healings and workings of miracles and discerning of spirits and a word of knowledge and a word of faith. Earnestly desire these nine gifts of the Spirit, but he added these words, but especially that you may prophesy. But especially that you may prophesy. My, this must be some kind of anointing. This must be some kind of thing to treasure. That he would say above everything else, desire to prophesy, to speak by the Holy Spirit, to speak by inspiration in your life, to speak those words of God. He said, covet earnestly the best gifts. And the best gift out of the nine is prophecy. Not only the gift of prophecy, but that we would carry a prophetic spirit in our life, that we would speak by the word of the Lord. That we would speak what God speaks, that there would be a flow and anointing. These are words that flow out of our spirit by the Holy Spirit. Covet to prophesy. Covet to prophesy. It says of Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3, that child who grew up in the house of God and served the Lord all his days, and how he grew in the mantle, in the garments of God. It says of him that the Lord did let none of his words fall to the ground. The Lord did let none of his words fall to the earth, fall to the ground. No, they shot out into the darkness. They shot out into the atmosphere. They shot out into the lethargy. They shot out into the sin. They shot out into the disease. They shot out into the darkness that was upon the nation, and they created life. God did let none of his words fall to the ground. They went out and created something in the Spirit. They brought life in Israel. In Genesis 1, God spoke into the darkness. God spoke into that which was unformed, that which was void. Let there be, let there be. And there was. And there was. I trust we see this morning how important this prophetic dimension is. It changes situations. It changes sons and daughters. It changes the atmospheres and the futures that we walk into. God says in Isaiah 45:11, ask of me things to come concerning my sons. See, our sons are his sons. Our daughters are his daughters. God says, ask of me things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. Command ye me. a spirit of humility as we take up the Word of God and we begin to call out on God for the words of life and that are in His Scripture to come to pass in our families, in our sons and daughters, and in the future to come. Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel was lifted up by the Spirit and carried out into a valley that was strewn with bones. Scavengers, vultures had long ago picked off all the flesh. These bleached bones lying in the valley. Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel didn't want to give a negative report. He said, and he knew it was not possible in the natural. He said, "Oh Lord, you know." And the Lord said, "Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy to these bones and say, hear the word of the Lord. Bones, hear the word of the Lord." And then verse 7 says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded." And as I prophesied, as I prophesied, there was a shaking and a rattling and a thunder. And it says in the margin, even an earthquake. And the bones began to come alive and join one to another. As I prophesied, as I spoke by inspiration. See, we have to open our mouth and speak. Prophesy means to speak for God. We have to open our mouth and speak in order for things to be created in the spiritual realm. As I prophesied, the bones came alive. The truth is, this morning, if Ezekiel had not prophesied, nothing would have happened in that valley. The Spirit of God can lift us up and carry us out into a valley, and we can see what needs to be changed, and we can see the darkness, and we can see the deplorable conditions, and we can see the captivity and the work of the enemy that has taken place. But nothing will change just because the Holy Spirit has shown us areas of need. We have to begin to prophesy. We have to begin to speak into those areas in order for the life and the blessing of the Lord to come forth. You might say, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to prophesy. Well, that's why the Lord has given us His Word. That's one reason we have this, and it's called the prophetic scriptures. The prophetic scriptures. These scriptures are alive with prophetic voice and utterance if our spirit joins to them in proper alignment and fire. See, even Genesis 48, you don't even have to turn the page. You don't have to go outside the chapter to find something to prophesy. Prophesy what Jacob did. Prophesy what this Israel, this spiritual man, prophesied over his son and over his grandsons. God, bless the lads. Angel who redeemed me from all evil. Redeem them from all evil. God, you who shepherded me all the days of my life, who fed me, feed these lads. Feed and shepherd them and guide them. There's a prophetic word right there for you. Take those words and claim them. Pray them over your family. Pray them over your sons and daughters and see the will of the Lord prosper. Now you may say, well, I'm not a prophet. I'm not some great anointed man or woman of God. I'm not a Samuel. I'm not an Ezekiel. Well, I have good news for you. Because the Bible says in the last days God will pour out His Spirit on all flesh. And sons and daughters shall prophesy. And old men shall dream dreams. And young men shall see visions. And God says, even upon the maidservants and upon the men servants, I will pour out my Spirit. God says, anyone who calls on my name, anyone who comes into covenant with me and relationship with me through the blood, the water, and the oil, the Holy Spirit, I will put my Spirit upon them and they shall prophesy. They shall prophesy. We no longer have an excuse. Doesn't matter our station in life. Doesn't matter our occupation, high or low, where we are, men servants, maid servants, kings, princes. It doesn't matter who we are. God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and they shall prophesy. They will speak by the Holy Spirit. They will gush forth. They will bubble forth the words of the Lord as they are connected in with my word and my spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jacob did two things in Genesis 48 and verse 10. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, near unto him, and Israel, or Jacob, kissed them and embraced them. Took those sons, and he kissed them and embraced them. Those words, he kissed them and embraced them, it sounds like the same thing. He was loving on them. He was caring for them. He kissed them and embraced them. Just really two ways of saying the same thing. And it may be that, but it may be something else altogether different. Because that word for kissed is translated in other places. Sometimes it's embraced, to kiss, to show affection. But there are a few times through the scriptures where that word is interpreted as armed with weapons of war. He took them and he kissed them. It says of David's men that they were armed with weapons of war and they were skillful. Is it possible that Israel took them and that as he put his arms around them and laid his hands on them, that they were armed, that they were equipped for spiritual warfare, that something was put into them by the Spirit of God that caused them to be mighty in the earth, that caused them, as it's translated in one passage, that word is translated ruled. Did Israel put rulership into them? Did he put a kingly nature? Did he put spiritual authority into them? I know he did because of the result. It says in Psalm 78, the children of Ephraim being armed, it's the same word, being kissed, being armed, and carrying bows. Truth is, old Jacob armed them and he embraced them. He loved on them and he launched them. He did both. And our children need both. They need to be loved, but they need to be launched. They need to have affection, but they need to be armed. They need to be embraced, but they need to be equipped because God has something for them. God has a future for them, and we're called to prophesy and lay hands on and direct that future in God. Like old Jacob, we must do two things. We must love our children, and we must launch them. We must put a sword in their hand, strap a guitar to their back with six strings, and so out of the quiver they can do some work for God, whatever that quiver would be to you and your life and your ministry. Jacob, Israel, armed them, and he embraced them. Hallelujah. Sometimes today we're concerned only with a good life. There are many Christians today that feel, as long as I give my children a good life and a good love and we love one another and we've got a strong family, that's the most important thing. That's important, but it's only half. It's only half of what God calls us to, because we have to set our children out into the future. We have to launch them. We want to give them a kingdom ministry. We want them to be effective for the kingdom of God, not only have a good life and a good love. We want them armed for war. We want the armor of righteousness on their right hand and left. We want them equipped by the Spirit of God with the Word of God so that they can go forth in ministry and they can scatter the enemies and divide the spoil. You think of it this morning. Joseph, father of Ephraim and Manasseh, was second in command in Egypt. He was the ruler under the Pharaoh. He could give his children anything money could buy. There was no end of the wealth he had. And yet he realized they need something more. I've got to get them under the hands of my spiritual father. I've got to get in the hands under of Jacob, my dad Israel. I've got to get an anointing. I need these sons armed. I need them to know they have affection. I want them to know they are loved, but they need to be launched. They need to be equipped. I need to arm them for the kingdom of God so they can truly be satisfied in life and complete something in the will of God. Because if I only show them love, they will not be satisfied. They need to know how to move in God. They need to know how to inherit the kingdom. They need to know how to break spiritual powers and bring the fruit of the earth and the spoils of war into their own lives. Then alone will they be truly satisfied in the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. Old Jacob strengthened himself. He sat up and he started prophesying. Worship team, think about it this morning. One man Jacob, only one man. But he started prophesying. And you know what was the result over those sons? It says the 10,000s of Ephraim and the thousands of Manasseh. One man prophesying set in motion the 10,000s of Ephraim and the thousands of Manasseh. That kind of inheritance that began to unfold in the earth, it didn't happen overnight, but as the years and the decades and generations went, those 10,000s and those thousands came forth in the earth, and you could stem it right back to that prophetic spirit of their old grandfather. Oh, I wonder how those young lads, they went out of that presence of old Jacob that morning, that afternoon. They never forgot what they saw, and they never forgot what they heard. I used to pray the 1,000 times blessing, Deuteronomy 1:11, and we should. The Lord make you 1,000 times so many more as you are, and bless you as he has promised. But I want to bring it up about 10 levels. We need to increase it. Let's go for the 10,000 times blessing. The Lord make you 10,000 times. That's what Deuteronomy 33 says. These are the 10,000s of Ephraim and the thousands of Manasseh. What a glorious word from the Lord. What a promise. What a prophecy. Hebrews 11 and verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. It's interesting. In Genesis 48, he blessed the sons of Joseph, but it says he strengthened himself and he sat up. Here it says he worshiped and leaned on the top of his staff. He strengthened himself. He worshiped. Worship will put strength into your life. Seeking the Lord, calling on the Lord will put strength into your life. We interpret it easily that way. This morning, that all of us would take hold of the Word of God. Ask God for a new day. Ask God for an anointing. Anoint sons and daughters. Bring forth life. Anoint a new generation. This morning, get a vision of your responsibility in the kingdom. We're responsible for our sons and our grandchildren. There would be a spirit on us to prophesy over them and lead them into a glorious future. Arm them and love them. Equip them for the glory of God. Let's stand together today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands before the Lord. Let's ask the Lord for a fresh anointing on our lives today. Strengthen yourself in God. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Beginning this very moment, as you go out, don't go back to your old way of life. Don't go back to lying on the bed. You know what happens if you lie around too long? Atrophy sets in, and you may never move with God again. We need to move with God, need to strengthen ourselves, need to sit up, response of faith to the physical body, to do the will of God, and then to start prophesying. Say, Lord, I covet to prophesy. I want to prophesy in my prayers. I want to prophesy in my worship. I want to prophesy as I drive in my car. I want to prophesy in my work as I go during the day. I want to speak your words. I want to create life. I want none of these words to fall to the ground, Lord, but to create life and inheritance, change a world in the kingdom of God. So, Lord, we receive from you today. Anoint us with fresh oil as we're here, Lord, giving ourselves to you. Lord, every Holy Ghost parent is concerned about the generation and the generation to come. Every one of us, Lord, called by you and born by the Holy Spirit, we long after our children. We long after our grandchildren, that they would not only be loved, but they would be equipped, they would be armed, they would be launched like arrows out of a bow. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, call on the name of the Lord as we worship. If you'd like to spend time before the Lord at the altar, please slip out from where you are. Maybe you need to consecrate yourself for their sakes. Say, today I'm consecrating myself. Today I'm sanctifying myself. I'm stepping out, Lord, to show my separation. I will not go back to that bed. I will not lie as I did in former days. I will rise up and I will be strengthened by your word and spirit, and I will begin to pray and prophesy like never before in my life. If you need to be at the altar this morning, slip out. People with any other needs, come. People will pray for you and lift you up before the Lord. But for a few minutes, let's worship and set our hearts upon our great King and Savior.